Good evening, everybody. It's good to be with you. And when I say it's good to be with you, I really mean it's good to be with you. we're excited. I don't know, how many people have never been to a Christmas Eve service? Anybody here never been to a Christmas Eve service? Okay, I think that's, it looks like everybody that's here has been, and that's probably one of my most favorite services of the year. You know, we have candles that go up and down the aisles, and we have an opportunity to share the Christmas story and just celebrate his birth. And it's such a blessed time for all of us to be able to do that. So Pastor Stephen is obviously not here tonight. He's enjoying some time with his family. They've come up to visit with him. And so he's asked me if I could share tonight with you. I have a subject that I think is going to be beneficial to you tonight that I really wanted to talk about, and I wanted to share with you tonight on the subject of how to deal with life's anxieties during the pandemic. So one of the realities of what we are going through during this time is recognizing that we are dealing with a level of stress that is unique to what is happening in our world at this time. The outbreak of COVID-19 has created a huge burden of change, uncertainty, worry, and stress for all of our lives. Recent events might have pushed you beyond the limits of anything you've ever faced, and anxiety and trauma like that can throw you off balance mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. 1 Peter is an incredible letter that Peter wrote to our brothers and sisters during the first century. The primary thing that Peter addressed in this letter is the issue of suffering and hardship in this world is absolutely critical. Jesus was very clear in his teaching that if you choose to follow him, that this would happen. 2020 has been a unique time of hardship, and it seems that no one has been exempt. The world hasn't been exempt from what we've been going through in 2020. Because of the suffering and hardship of life in general, and because of the suffering and hardship that will come with following Jesus, because of this, many of us are walking around with a sinking feeling in our gut. This is why when you look at your life, you see that you are always feeling a little maybe agitated or maybe a bit nervous, maybe a little restless or a little scared. This is what we call anxiety. If this anxiety just sits on you for any length of time, it produces some physical ramifications. You could get ulcers, high blood pressure, sleeplessness. This is how anxiety affects your body. And it will have spiritual ramifications also. You'll lose the taste, the feel, and the sight of God in your soul. The things that used to stir you, the things that used to make your soul glad, the things that used to make you feel safe and secure in God, they no longer resonate. If anxiety stays on you, it can affect your spiritual connection. And this is why anxiety is so dangerous. It makes you forget the basic and precious truths of the gospel, the simple and precious truth that God cares for you, that he cares so much for you that he sent his son for you. And so Peter says to us in this passage in Peter 5:6-7, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Notice here from the beginning, Peter doesn't say, if you have anxieties, cast them on them. He assumes that you are going to have some anxieties. And I think that's one of the realities that we all face in this life is that anxiety comes upon all of us in some degree or some fashion at different times in our lives, depending upon what we might be going through at any given time. So tonight I want to look at two questions, try to answer two questions for you. The first one is, what is the root of anxiety? And the second one is, how do we battle anxiety? The first one, what is the root of anxiety? Again, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Peter tells us in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And how do you humble yourself? Verse 7 tells us, by casting our anxieties on him. Peter is telling us how to humble ourselves. In other words, he's saying that to have, maintain, and hold onto your anxiety, if you do that, that's prideful. That may sound like a strange thought, but this is what Peter is showing us. He's showing us that the root of anxiety is pride. How can this be? Anxiety doesn't feel like pride at all. Being anxious, worrying, being afraid, having sleepless nights, those things don't seem like puffed up, prideful things. They seem like humble, lowly things, don't they? But that's the danger of anxiety. It's pride that hides itself in humility. Anxiety is rooted in pride because anxiety reveals that we are trying to place ourselves in God's seat. Anxiety reveals that we're trying to take God's place. It reveals our distrust for him and his ways, and it reveals our fears that he's going to get things wrong. I know that sounds like a strange statement, and it kind of hits home for me because I recognize and I can identify times in my life when anxiety got the best of me, when I was overly concerned or worrying too much about a certain thing that was happening in my life or something that I was going through. And when you do that, that is, you're kind of taking away from God. You're not trusting him. You're not putting your faith in him. You're looking at your own situation and you're trying to manage it and handle it yourself and not allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Matthew 6 gives us a famous passage of Jesus teaching on anxiety. And he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then in Matthew 6, 32, he says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Jesus says, everybody else is running after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. Your Father knows. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows. So that's one of the things that we have to remember and keep in mind, that whenever we're walking through a time where we may be experiencing some anxiety or some fear in our lives, that we need to know and remind ourselves that God knows exactly what it is that we're going through at any given moment. If you're worried today, it is probably because instead of saying God knows, you're saying that you know. One of the times in my life that I can identify where I felt like I was trying to take control and deal with anxiety in my life was when I was in Teen Challenge many, many moons ago. We were having a major concert there at Teen Challenge, and the people we had, does anybody remember Mike Warnke? Does that name sound familiar? Okay, he was a Christian who was on the kind of the circuit at the time, and he was pretty popular. And then another person that was there was Ray Bolts. Does anybody remember Ray Bolts? Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if anybody would remember him, but he sang that song, He's Alive. and he was very popular at that time. But when the concert was taking place at Teen Challenge, I had been there for a period of time, but my sister was still out on the street, and she was still using hard narcotics, and her life was a mess. And I thought, if I could just get her to come to this concert and be and hear Mike Warnke and hear Ray Bolts, that would be the moment that she would come to a place in her life where she would commit her life to Christ and accept Jesus into her life. And I was just convinced that if she would come to that, that's what would happen. Unfortunately, she didn't come to that, but the lesson that it taught me that there are things that I think we want to take control of that we can't necessarily have control over. And so at that moment in time, I wasn't necessarily trusting God for my sister's salvation. I was depending on the people that were speaking and singing and me getting her to come to this event. And I was disappointed when she didn't show up. But the moral of the story is that I wasn't really trusting God at that moment. She ended up obviously coming to the Lord and committing her life to Christ, but it was in another way at another time. But that was a lesson that I think God taught me at that moment. There's no sense in getting upset or experiencing a lot of anxiety over the fact that she wasn't coming and wasn't responding, because God had a plan. And I think that's one of the messages that we need to get. In spite of what we want and what we hope happens, we need to trust God, because He knows what's best for us, and we need to trust Him with that. You're saying you know how things have to go. You're saying it must happen this way. It can't happen any other way. You're saying you know exactly what has to happen for you to be happy and for things to go well. And the reason why you are anxious and worrying is because you're afraid God will get it wrong. You're trying to take God's place. And that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be overcome with anxiety. Pastor Tim Keller said this. He said that God would give you only what you would have asked for if you knew what He knows. In other words, we ask God for all sorts of things, and we wonder sometimes, God, why don't you give this to me? Don't you love me? Don't you care? But the premise behind that argument is that you know what you need and what's best for you, that you know how life works best. But Jesus is saying, you don't know. God knows what's exactly best for you. He's dealing with 10 million data points that you have absolutely no idea about, and if you knew what He knows, you would be asking for anything different, because if you knew what He knows, you would be able to see that what He is giving you is what actually is best for you. That's a mouthful, right? Pastor Tim Keller says that anxiety is, at the end of the day, fearing that God will get it wrong, and bitterness is believing that God did get it wrong. And so anxiety is rooted in the pride of fearing that God will get it wrong. It's rooted in the pride that says, I know, He doesn't know, and if I were in charge, I would get it right. Now let's look at the second question tonight. The second question is, how do we battle anxiety? Psalm 27 says, in this psalm, we see how David is fighting against his own anxieties. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. The world thinks that the reason people fall into anxiety is because we worry about all sorts of things that may never happen, and to just stop doing that is the answer. But is that what David is saying? David doesn't say an army has encamped against me. He doesn't say war has risen against me. He says, even if it did, so what is David doing? David is doing the very opposite of what all of the self-help books would tell us to do about anxiety. David is imagining the worst case scenario. David is saying, even if all of the worst nightmares came true, he would still trust God and be confident in him. And one of the things that came to my mind in preparing for this message and thinking about that thought is when we remember Job and what he went through. Do you remember the words that are noted with him that they've stuck in my heart for many years? And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I think that's the idea and the place that each and every one of us want to come to. Regardless of the situations in our lives, no matter what we're going through, if we can always say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, is a great place to be. If we are able to recognize that God knows what's best for us, and he's not going to allow anything to happen to us that he's not aware of or he doesn't know about. You see, we fall into anxiety not because we're needlessly worrying about our worst case scenarios, but we fall into anxiety because we don't have a view of God that enables us to face our worst case scenarios. In 2020, if 2020 has taught us anything, it has taught us that we do live in a world where the worst case scenarios happen. We do live in a world where a worldwide pandemic has truly stricken us. A world where you can be hated, you can be hurt, or you can even be killed, even just because of the color of your skin. And so the solution to our anxiety problem can't simply be just don't think about worst case scenarios. Instead, you have to have a view of God that you can say, even if sickness claims me, even if people hate me, and even if I lose my possessions and securities in this world, yet my heart shall not fear, yet I will be confident in God. So why should we run to him with all of our worries and all of the fears and anxieties? Let's look back at 1 Peter again. He tells us two critical things that God makes him worthy for us to put our confidence in him. What does Peter tell us? He says, do you see it? He tells us that our God is mighty. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what else? That not only is he mighty, but that he cares. He says, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He's worthy because he is mighty and because he cares. God being both is absolutely critical. You see, because if he was only mighty but not caring, could we go to him? Could we trust him? Probably not. But on the other hand, if he was only caring but not mighty, could we fully trust him? Because he may love you and care for you and only want the best for you, but with certain things, he would say, that's just outside of my control. I don't have the power to do that. The reason why he's worthy enough to be our one thing that we depend upon is because he is both. He is both mighty and he also cares for us and loves us. And many times we can trace our anxieties to the fact that we're not living as if He is both. Sometimes we just feel like maybe He cares for us, but we don't necessarily recognize who He is and the power that He has to take care of things. Some of us are anxious not because we don't think God cares for us or loves us, but because we don't believe God is mighty enough to have His power to actually be in control over all things. Others of you might now aren't anxious because you don't think that He has the power, but you believe that He has the power. The thing that you're doubting is that God cares. You're anxious because you're asking God, don't you care? But hasn't the cross of Jesus answered that question for the good? And so, what's the solution? How do we deal with our anxieties? Peter is saying to us, cast all of your anxieties that you have on God, who is mighty and who cares. When Peter tells us to cast all of our anxieties on God, what is he telling us to do? He's telling us to pray. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul tells us that to pray about everything, everything you're worried and anxious about. Tell God about it in prayer, by prayer and supplication, Paul says. What does that mean? Paul is saying, ask Him. Ask Him for all the things that you want Him to do for you. You might be saying, I do that all the time, but I still have anxieties. That's one of the things that if you read that scripture, it's found in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verses 6 to like 10, where it tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication or thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then right after that it says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when we pray, when we bring our needs to God, when we bring our requests to Him, and we ask Him for the things that are happening in our lives, we do that with the assurance that after we do that, the peace of God comes. We don't necessarily always know how that spiritual dynamic happens, but it happens because we're trusting Him and we're committing our needs to Him. Here's the critical part of that passage of Scripture. It says, with thanksgiving. Paul says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what does that mean? How do you ask God for something while already being thankful to Him for it? How do you do that? You're saying, God, whatever you do in response to this request is good, and so I already thank you for it. So when you go to Him in prayer with whatever need that you might have, or any, if you may be experiencing some anxiety in your life and you go to Him in prayer, but you do that in a way that you're thanking Him in advance for what He's going to do, that's really what He wants us to do, because at that point, then you're taking it out of your hands and you're putting it in His hands. And whatever the result might be, that's what God wants for you at that moment. You're saying, God, whatever you do in response to this request is good, and so I already thank you for it. You're saying, I don't ultimately know what is best for me, but I thank you that you know what is best for me. Trusting Him does not mean prayerlessness. Trusting Him means that we're free to pray at all times about everything and ask Him for all sorts of things. And because we have a God in heaven who is both mighty and cares for us, we can pray already with thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving isn't held hostage to God giving us what we're asking for. We can offer him thanksgiving immediately because we know that whatever his response, it will be good and it will be what's best for us. We can be sure of this because he went to the cross. Look at the cross. Though he had all the power, all the might, how did he use it? He used all of his power, all of his might, not to take, but to give. Not to be served, but to serve. He had the power to write any story, but he chose to write the story where his son would come and die on a cross so that you may know without a shadow of a doubt that you have a mighty and powerful God in heaven that cares for you. And so tonight, we can trust him. Amen. We can humble ourselves under his mighty hand and cast all of our anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for us. And that's what's important for us to remember in this message, is that God is mighty enough to take care of whatever situations that you may be going through right now. And not only is he mighty enough and strong enough to take care of those situations, but he also cares for us and loves us deeply. So with the combination of those two things, we can walk in assurance and in confidence that whatever is happening in our lives, we don't have to necessarily be anxious about, but we can trust God that he knows. He knows what's best. He knows the end result. He knows what we can't see around the corners of our lives, and he's in charge. And that's the thing, that when we face any kind of situations in our lives that produce some level of anxiety, that we can go to him. We can go to him in prayer. We can go to him with thankfulness, saying, Lord, this is what my need is. This is my situation. I thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to handle that. So we're thanking him in advance. We're kind of paying it forward in a sense that we know that whatever the outcome and the result might be, that God is in charge and he's the one that's going to take care of that need for us. So in closing, I just want to once again thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank you for the part that you've played in the process. And I just pray that if any of you are experiencing any kind of anxiety in your life, that the words that I shared with you tonight and the lessons will be helpful to you to be able to approach that in a different way, not in a way that it becomes overwhelming to you, where you become nervous or scared or fearful. That's one of the things that I've noticed about this pandemic myself, is that there seems to be a lot of fear associated with what's happening in our country, in our world, in our lives, with what's happening with this pandemic. But God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to trust, and he wants us to depend upon him and trust him to help us with whatever situations we might find in our lives. And so whether you're here in the sanctuary tonight, and or whether you're at home watching this on the internet, I just want to invite you, if for some reason you've heard this message, and the message primarily was to believers tonight, but if you've heard these words tonight and you actually don't know the Lord, and you'd like to make that decision to ask him into your life to help you with some of the challenges that you face in your life on a daily basis, this would be the time that I would encourage you to do that. And what you need to do, if you're watching at home and you'd like to make that commitment to invite Christ into your life, what I need you to do is just to text the word HOPE to 413-300-6061. And we'll respond to you. We'll send you some materials that will help you to know about following Christ and making a decision to follow Him. But if you're in the sanctuary tonight and you may be experiencing some anxiety because of everything that's going on in the world around us or what might be happening in your life, I just want to close with a word of prayer for you tonight and ask God to be with you and to help you through that. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word shows us very clearly that you are a mighty God. Not only are you a mighty God, but you're a God who loves us and cares for us. And you know, Lord, what's best for us. So, Lord, as we come to you and as we pray, I pray you that you would help each and every one of us as we pray to pray with thanksgiving in our heart and the assurance that you're aware of everything that's happening in our lives and you know better than we'll ever know how to deal with those things for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you tonight that are here in this sanctuary. For those who may be watching online, Lord, I pray that you just help each one, all of us, Lord, as we continue to grow in our faith and our relationship with you, and as we continue to trust you, Lord, to meet every need in our lives. Lord, we commit this night to you. We thank you for this time of the year, this season, and in the next couple of days as we celebrate the birth of Christ, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to meet every need that's represented in our lives and help us, Lord, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we commit all these things to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.